Things happen inside of you when you praise God and you don't even realize it. Something comes alive and strong. And guess what? We get to do this forever. And worship here is good. Wait till you get to heaven. People from every tribe and tongue and nation will join you and we will sing praise. And you may think, well, I'm not a very good singer. Don't worry about it. He'll take care of that. He has a way of making all things perfect, remember? We are going to rejoice in him. I don't know what God's going to do with preachers up there. Doesn't matter right now, does it? We're all going to be praising him. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Luke 15, verses 11 through 24. Jesus is speaking here. It's the third of three parables. The first one is the parable of the lost sheep, followed by the parable of the lost coin. If you've ever lost anything, you know the feeling. And then the parable of the lost son. Verse 11, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine or pigs. Verse 16, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Father, you put this together, and it's more than a parable. It is for us right now on June 18th, 2017. Thank you for your spirit to guide us and direct us in this word that is living and active so that it will work in living and active ways in us. And transform us by the renewing of our minds and cause us to go in the directions you intended us to go in life. Thank you that this is truth we can trust both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. In this parable told by Jesus, we find a young man moving in four very significant directions during this period in his life. And I want to give you these four different directions right up front. Verse 13 says, he went far away from his father. Second specific direction, verse 15, he went to a citizen, fellow human being. Third specific direction, verse 17, he came to himself. And the fourth specific direction, verse 20, he came back to his father. The directions you go in life, the directions I go in life are very significant. They may not seem like it at the time, but they have results in the long run that make a big difference. When I was in my early 20s, I was the driver on a trip. And I knew where I was going. So I did not bother to check the map. And as I drove along, I discovered I was ending up in the wrong state. That's bad enough. But I had five other people with me. So not only did I go in the wrong direction, I took five other people in the wrong direction. You have the potential to do the same thing. You could take five people in the right direction with you, or you could also take them in the wrong direction with you. Because you are being watched and observed by someone else, there is impact and influence from your life to theirs. Just as you know that you have, as you've gone along through the years, you've looked to other people for leadership and guidance. The verse says, if the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both fall into the pit. That's why this is so important. So I invite you to look closely with me at these four directions, because they are also about you and me, not just about this young man. And the first specific direction is, verse 13, he went far away from his father. Now this starts in verse 12, where, and the younger of them said to his father, and notice the attitude here that I think comes through pretty clear. Father, please, may we sit down and talk about this? No, it says, Father, give me. There's a demand tone in this. You learn some things about this young man and about yourself. This seems demanding. What he asked for was legal, absolutely. But it's also very sudden. He's young. He's possibly restless. What's the hurry? Well, there's that phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Why is it? Why is it that it's always over there? And why can't I get my grass to grow that way? But it's true. There seems to be this tendency to think that somewhere else things are better. Now, he may have gotten that into his head that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. He was not a runaway, but he was a walkaway. I'm going to go my way. That is one of the popular themes of human nature. My way or the highway. Verse 13. Notice what else happens here. And not many days after. In other words, this young man departed swiftly. He was driven. This was a top priority. It cannot wait. This is urgent. I've got to go now. And then in the middle of the verse, not many days after, he journeyed where? Not to the other side of town, to a far country. He clearly distanced himself from his father. He went to a far country. He wanted to get way away, as far away as he could from his dad. And then at the end of verse 13, It says, and there wasted his possessions with wasteful living. He wasted what was his. Literally, this is a state of ruin. Literally, this young man ruined himself. It happens a lot. Now, sometimes people do rotten things to other people, but sometimes people just plain do rotten things to themselves because they are driven, they are directed certain ways, and they've got to have this. You've heard the word mirage. You look off in the distance and you see what looks like a lake on the road, and then you get to it, and what happens? It's not there anymore. You look down the road further, and there's another, what seems to be a body of water, but when you get there, it's not there. Because a mirage is not what I thought it would be. It's an optical phenomenon. It can be a mentally optical phenomenon. You envision something, you think, if I could only do that, if I could only get there, if I could only experience this, it would be great. Then you get there, and that didn't work. And the worst part of it is, many times it sucks the life and the time and the money and the energy and the strength out of a person and leaves them exhausted, and they have nothing to show for it. That's what happened to this young man. And then the worst part in verse 14. When he had spent all, it couldn't happen at a worse time, right? When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land. Not only am I in difficulty, the country around me is having hard times too. And it says right there, he began to be in want. In other words, this young man not only wasted what was his, but he failed to prepare for adversity because his focus was immediate personal gratification without considering the cost or the consequences. Here's something to think about. While this young man was with his father, what did he have? He had everything. And now, after getting his wishes, this young man has what? He has nothing. So he's gone from everything to nothing because of this mirage in his mind, off in the distance, if I can only have that, I'll have more than everything, and instead, he's got nothing. Now, we're not sitting in judgment this morning on this young man, but ask yourself the question, is this young man wise? Has this young man improved his situation in life? Is he better off now than he was before? And most importantly, do you realize that in this story, you are actually looking at yourself when you look at the life of this young man? Because the scripture says, and Jesus told this parable for the same purpose, but the scripture says in Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, drifted off here and there, all kinds of directions. There is this strong human desire to get away from our Heavenly Father, to get away from authority. Don't tell me what to do. Just let me be. Even though our Heavenly Father loves us and has incredible resources, he desires to share with you and me. And what do we often say as a result of it? Well, we got separated. No, I chose to separate myself from God. It doesn't say God has strayed from you and me. It says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And it's implying we've gone astray from him. In fact, Romans 3:11-12 says, there is none, it's talking about all human beings, there is none who understands, there is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. That's what happened to this young man. There is none who does good, no, not one. To be away from your heavenly Father is not a good place to be. And for a sheep, referred to in Isaiah 53:6, to be on its own and free and independent to go wherever it seems best to go is not only not good for the sheep or the human being, it is also not safe. It exposes that animal to very great and mortal danger. And people have much in common with sheep. Your wandering ways can expose you to very great danger if they haven't already. Can I ask you a very personal question on behalf of your Heavenly Father? Where are you right now, this morning, in life? Are you in a far country spiritually? Do you know how you ended up there? You know, when did it all start? Is it the best place to be? Do you really think it's safe? Does your location right now fill you with joy? Does it give you hope? Does it give you peace? Does it give you a sense of refreshment? That's where he ended up, and that's where many human beings are today. That's the first specific direction. He went far away from his Father. The second one is in verse 15. He went to a citizen. The reason he went to a citizen was because this young man was in a very tight spot. This young man went for human help. Whatever help he could find. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with this direction in and of itself. Because as you see in verse 14, this young man had spent everything he had. His entire inheritance was completely gone, with nothing to show for it. So now he has to launch out in a new direction. I suppose we could call it, if it's on TV, Survivor. This is the survival chapter of his young life. And we come to verse 15. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and that citizen sent him into his fields to feed swine or to feed pigs. So, happy ending, right? He lands a job. Now, this wouldn't be my number one choice, feeding pigs. I've been around pigs, and I've had friends who have worked with pigs, and one of them says, you work with pigs long enough, and even though you wash and shower and clean and everything else, boy, you can still smell those pigs on you. And when he finally got away from that job, several years later, he no longer smelled like a pig. But there is that comes with, that's one of the perks. Okay, he's got himself a job. He's feeding pigs. But don't you wonder, is this what this young man dreamed of when he left his father? His goal in life. Was his deepest longing and desire to go to some far country, seek out a citizen there who would be willing to hire him to feed this man's pigs? That's it. That is exactly what I want to do when I grow up. My plan is to downsize all my personal resources to absolutely nothing to start with, and then spend the rest of my life feeding pigs on less than minimum wage. Two additional insights are in verse 16. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. Insight number one, even pig food sounded good to this young man. When I was in college, I heard about two students, college students at another campus, who, in order to save a little money, changed their diet. They went out and bought dog food, and I'm sure they didn't eat dog food all the time, but they ate it some of the time to save money. And I thought, oh, you're barking up the wrong tree there. No, I don't want that. Even pig food sounded good to him. What's referred to here is carob pods. It's a wild fruit found in Syria and Egypt, which was used for feeding pigs in the Middle East. They were very abundant. They're about as abundant as dandelions are around here in the springtime. Carob pods had a sweet taste, but they were not at all very wholesome for human consumption. Got that? Yet this young man's highest nutritional desire becomes the eating of food intended for pigs. Now, before we leave this insight, ask yourself, have you stopped and considered lately what you have developed an appetite for? Is it that much different than what this young man developed an appetite for? What do you get hungry for? What are you seeking out for satisfaction in life? Does it really give lasting satisfaction? What are you seeking for fulfillment? Does it truly fulfill you? Or does it leave you still hungry? And the worst part is, does it enslave you? Is it therefore not food but addiction? That's the insight here. This young man craved something that really wasn't doing him any good. In fact, possibly could have done him some harm. And obviously his situation was, at this point, just plain survival. I'll take anything for food. Insight number two in verse 16 is at the end of the verse. No one gave him anything. He has nothing to start with, and he can't get help other than the carob pods. He is destitute. He is lonely. He's isolated. He's probably feeling guilty. Hope is slipping away. Not only is the cupboard bare, he doesn't even have a cupboard. You know this. There are some things in life that only God can give you, but they are the things that matter the most and the things you need the most. And the best news is God wants you to have the best. He doesn't want you in this condition. Your heavenly Father is wise beyond measure. He is powerful beyond measure. He is rich beyond measure. He is able to give anyone anything in any amount at any time. Let me repeat that. He is able to give anyone anything in any amount at any time. But it only benefits you if it's on his terms, not yours. Not any demanding kind of an attitude on your part. That's the second direction. Third specific direction is in verse 17. It says, but when he came to himself, he woke up mentally. He had an inward change of heart. He became consciously aware of the stark reality of his location and his condition. What am I doing here? What happened? How could I have possibly ended up here? Now you need to remember, this young man was still on the same spot physically and geographically. But here in verse 17, he makes this marvelous move in a third specific direction. He realizes exactly where he is at in life. He comes to himself. He comes to his senses instead of his desires and dreams. And he says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? This is like an equation in math. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He starts to realize, this is way off. Here I am with nothing, but back home, even the lowest of my dad's servants are far better off than I am. They've got it made, bread and to spare, and that has always been my generous father's way. What am I waiting for? Why couldn't I see it until now? And what follows here is wonderful. In verses 18 and 19, as you see it here, he forms a plan. I will arise and go to my father humbly and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And he's not trying to come up with a clever story to get by so he gets back in favor with his dad. He's at the point where he says, I just need to go home. I need to go home. I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, but will you take me as one of your hired servants? He knows the work. He's been around there. I can do that. I'm willing to accept a lower position with adequate provision. And we come to the fourth specific direction, which doesn't always happen in people's lives. They make a plan, they have this resolve, and then they don't do it. And they're still in the same place. So things don't get any better. But he makes a plan, and in verse 20 it says, and he arose and came to his father. The best move he ever made in his entire life, he makes in verse 20. Where could I be? What could still happen? And he got up from the place and the circumstances where he was, and still in his present condition, he's broke, and his record of failure and emptiness, he comes to his father. He heads in the right direction. To which someone might say, yeah, right. He could do that because that's a parable. That's just a story with a happy ending. And even if it is about me and God the Father, why on earth would God ever want me? I know what I'm like. I know my record. I'm dirty. I'm smelly. I've been wasteful. I've been rebellious. There are a lot of things I regret. I've been angry. I know the ugly things I've done, things I could never make up for, things I could never clean up. I've created disasters. And maybe that's true, but please listen. Here is God's response in verse 20. But when he was still where? A great way off. Do you know what that's telling you? This father was watching for his son. He was waiting. Someday, maybe he'll come back. See, he was watching. When he was still a great way off. You can recognize your own family sometimes, even when they're a long ways away, right? Just the way they walk or the way they move, something about him. You say, yeah, I know that. And it says, when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. Now remember his record and remember what the father's doing. Keep those two together because that's the reconciliation. That's the hope. That's the life and the love of God here. This is God's response, and this is not a made-up story. What does the son encounter? Not only when he's a great way off does he see him and have compassion. He ran to him. He didn't stand on the hill getting ready to deliver his lecture for this son who had gone astray. It says he ran to him. He fell on his neck and he embraced him. And remember where that son had been, with the pigs. And those clothes do not easily get rid of the pig smell. He was dirty. He was a failure. There was everything about him that said, why bother with him? The Father is not looking there. The Father's focus is not there. Even though this son was dirty, smelly, reckless, wasteful, this was like a scene at the end of the Super Bowl or at the end of the World Series for the winning team. They are jumping, piling on each other. They're celebrating. Nothing else matters in the whole world. We have won this championship. But it's even greater than that for this father with his son, because it says in this verse, verse 24, for this my son was dead. I didn't think I'd ever see him again. And he is alive. He was lost and is found. I went to college. My wife, that's where we met, college in the Twin Cities. A couple friends we got to know there. And we were lifetime friends. When we were living out in South Dakota, they had two girls in their family and teenage daughters. And one day we got the news from them that one of their teenage daughters had run away from home. They had no idea where she was. Twin Cities, they lived up in there at that time. They hired a private detective even. They had the police working on it, everybody else. They finally found her down in Chicago area. They found her. She came home. They had no idea. Why did she leave? Why would she want to leave? And the father here must have thought that many times about his younger son. Why would he want to leave this? Don't know. But Stacy came back to her family. And again, it wasn't about this. It wasn't about some lecture or some, what in the world were you thinking? Why? It was lost and is found, was dead and is alive. That's all that matters, right? Do you realize that when you turn toward the Father and you walk in the direction of the Father, whoever it is, regardless of their record, you come on his terms. He's waiting there. He's watching from afar off. And when he sees you coming, he runs toward you too. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. He's coming. He wants you. He loves you. Don't let Satan or anybody else try to convince you otherwise. Don't let your past record in any way stand in the way of thinking that God will not take you to himself and embrace you and kiss you and set up a party for you, because even as it says here in Luke 15, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I have never been through this experience of having someone run away or walk away from me. But what a joy to know that God is waiting to run to me. And I know that this is foreign to many people. They are not used to understanding. How can God love me? God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still stinky, while we were still a mess, that's when Christ died for us. He didn't wait. The Father didn't stand on the hill and say, it's good to have you back. Go take a shower. Then we'll talk. That's not the Father. That is not the Heavenly Father. Your Father is so full of love that the measurements of that love cannot be contained, as Ephesians 3 talks about. The height and the depth and the width and the whatever it is, You have no idea unless you look at the cross and look at the Father and what he did through Jesus Christ for you. While you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Don't ever let your record stand in the way of his love. Because that's what the good news of the gospel is all about. And the Father is basically from his heart saying, come back. Get up from wherever you are and come back. It's not too late. It's not too late. Let's pray. Lord, you know how we grieve when children run away or walk away from us. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You desire people to come back to you, to taste of your love and your riches and all that you have for them, not only now, but in eternity. And Father, you know the hearts and the lives of everybody who's listening right now. I thank you that your word presents very clearly your love for them, regardless of their spiritual smell condition right now, regardless of their record, that you simply call us to do what this young man did. I will arise and go to my Father. And I thank you for the way you accept us in Jesus Christ and will continue to guide us on our way till that day we see you face to face and praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.